The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is on assignment. I believe he's on a... he's on a drinking assignment of some kind? I don't know.
Something like that.
That's Danny Higgins, everybody, sitting in for Kelly today.
Hey-o.
I know.
hello, Danny. On the show today, Danny's not going to be here for a long time because we got a late add to the guest list, so you're being pushed out here early.
Yeah.
But nice of you to hang out with us here in the early going because Crack is going to do a couple segments with us today. We believe Bill Krakenberger is at Hilton Head at the RBC. That's where we think he is. But anyway, he's remote, and we will talk to the Crack Man today later on the show, unscripted with the Crack Man abbreviated version. Nice of him to make the time and effort. But in addition to Crack, of course, it is Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, NBA today, full NBA. See if he has any clay court tennis around Europe, both indoor and outdoor clay. NHL playoffs with Jake Hahn making his second appearance of the week. Last day of the NHL regular season. Still a couple things need to be determined out west. Other than that, everything is set for the playoffs, which begin on Saturday. Carl Sachs, speaking of playoffs, he'll talk NBA playoffs. Actually, two more play-ins, of course, as the play-in six games concludes on Friday after last night, which we'll get to momentarily. NBA playoffs with JVT right before Money Moves. He'll join us to talk NBA playoffs. Is he in studio, by the way, JVT?
JVT's in studio.
Let's go. JVT in studio later. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I have saved the best for last. I know some of you are going to be outraged, but some of you are going to think it's the greatest thing in the world. WrestleMania 42 with Wyatt Tomczyk. Yes, you can bet on these things. Where? I have no idea. Wager on the internet. You could bet it there. You could bet it on BetUS. There's a few
places you can bet it. Yeah.
Prediction markets, though, interestingly, I don't know if you can.
No, I was looking on Kalshi last night, and I could not find anything.
That's the ironic thing about that stuff, because it's... there's so much insider trading going on in other things, even though, you know, that's not explicitly insider trading, of course. They won't admit to that. But WrestleMania is, by definition, earmuffs for some of the kids out there, scripted, so they're not willing to put those up.
You don't need that script getting leaked and then...
don't want to do that. No. Let us begin, Danny, with last night's NBA play-ins, the 7-8 game in the East, and then... got to talk about the 9-10 out west, of course. 7-8 game out east, simple, straightforward. Sixers beat the Magic. Tyrese Maxey, 31 for the Sixers. Desmond Bane, 34 for the Magic in defeat. But the Sixers get it done, and they are the 7 seed now in the Eastern Conference, much like the Blazers were able to overcome and become the 7 seed the other night. Blazers taking on the Spurs in a best of 7. The Spurs are minus 2,000 favorites in that 2-7 out west. This not quite as egregious on the line, but the Celtics are the next highest, of course, of the playoff series that have been set thus far. They are 900, minus 900 are the Celtics in this series against the Sixers. Sixers 6-1 series price on the comeback. Most people consider without Joel Embiid, they have no shot whatsoever. We shall see. As the Sixers advance, the Magic are not eliminated. The Magic, of course, now advance to the final game. Not advance, but fall back to the final game tomorrow night of the play-in, which will determine the 8th seed. The Magic take on the Hornets. The Hornets installed. Remember, Danny, you cannot bet them unless it's installed. Hornets, 3.5-point favorites at Orlando tomorrow night at the Amway Center in Orlando. Probably Jamal Mosley's last game if the Magic lose this. Is much speculated. The Magic just look wayward at this point. Hornets, 3.5-point favorites. That game for the 8 seed out east. But the game, of course, that needs to be talked about is the 9-10 out west yesterday, where the Warriors beat the Clippers by 5, 126-121. Femi Abebefe and Will Hill were kind enough to have me on VSiN Primetime last night, right before this game, and they asked me what I thought about it, and you know, we have guests on the show, and it was all one-way traffic on the Clippers all week.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be, you know, listen, you can state your opinion. You don't want to step on people and sort of be aggressive against it. But as a guest on a show, I was basically able to say, I was like, listen, everybody's on the Clippers, including the greatest NBA handicapper I know, Carl Sack. And Carl, I always play Carl stuff. I never, rarely, right, we'll go against Carl stuff, or rarely we'll even not play it at all. But last night was one of those where I'm just like, listen, we've seen this act before. And Steve Kerr was prattling on about minutes restrictions. And I said on the show last night, I'm like, there's no chance there's a minutes restriction on Steph Curry. He did not come back from his knee injury, miss all of February and March, and agree to 30 minutes tops is all I'm going to do. Steph was in there for 35, almost 36 minutes last night. Steph Curry, this game, if you missed it, three of these four play-in games, borderline classics. This one last night was just, I hate to get wistful, Danny, because I'm a grown man. And as a grown man, we care about sports in a different way. We care about our bets. There's very few things that make me wistful, like the skins that I grew up on in D.C. But the Warriors are the other one, and I used to call them the most beautiful thing in sports. And at least for one more night, I don't know if they win tomorrow against the Suns in the game for the 8th seed out west. Even if they do, they're certainly not going to get by the Thunder in an 8-1 best-of-7 series. But for at least one more night, we got to see some of that Warriors dynasty magic. Clippers led 12-2 right out of the chute. Dubs came back, take the lead at 17-16, then 19-18. But by the end of the first quarter, the Warriors were down 9. Steph was in the locker room, and it looked like this was dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Steph comes back, though. Dubs come back. They take their biggest lead of the first half and really of most of the game at 35-31. And from there, the rest of the night was basically the Clippers going up somewhere between, I don't know, 8 to 13 points. 13 was the Clippers' biggest lead, but really 8 to 13 points, 8 to 11 points, something like that. And the Warriors coming back to cut it to between like 2 to 4 points. In fact, it felt like it happened, you know, a million times. In fact, the Clippers took exactly 7 double-digit leads in this game. And I don't mean 7 double-digit leads of like 11 that got back to 9 and then toggle back. But it was like up to 11, back down to 3. Up to 12, back down to 4. All night long, that happened. Dubs couldn't quite catch the Clippers. Clippers couldn't quite deliver the knockout punch on the Warriors. And then the last half of this fourth quarter, 108-99 Clippers with under 6:30 to play. Clippers are up 9. Santos 2, 108-101. Clippers up. Al Horford, 3, 108-104. After two Mathurin free throws, Horford, another splash, 3, 110-107. After a Mathurin layup, Horford, 3 again, 112-110. Clippers, under 4 minutes to play. A Lopez 3 put the Clips back up 5. Then Steph with a dipsy-do layup, 115-112. A steal, a Santos layup that cut it to 115-114 with 2:45 to go. Lopez misses. Then Horford, another 3, his 4th. In a short span, Dubs lead 117-115, their first lead since that lead I talked about early in the second quarter. Lopez, 2 free throws, tied it up at 117 apiece. Both teams missed, and then with under a minute left, ball game tied at 117. Steph from 30, bang, because of course it was. Dubs go up 120-117. Then Mathurin to inbounds from the side, try to get it to Kawhi, stolen by Draymond. Tips it ahead to Bajemski, goaltending and 123-117. Clippers ball with 46 left, down 6. Draymond pickpockets Kawhi. Curry free throw puts him up 7 with 32 seconds left, and it was academic from there. Steph with 35 in 35 minutes, 7 for 12 from behind the arc. Second most minutes on the team. Minutes restriction, schminutschmischmischchen, as my mom used to say. He had a rough first half with only 8 points on 2 of 9 shooting, and then he posted 27 on 10 of 14 shooting in the second. Porzingis was the best player on the court for the Warriors before Steph got going. He had 20, a mix of threes and putbacks that were just awesome. Horford had 14. I just told you about the 4 threes that paced that. Draymond, such a Draymond line. 7 points, 6 boards, 9 assists, 4 steals. And the Warriors were 19 of 41 from behind the arc, 46.3%. If you put Steph, Draymond, Horford, and Porzingis together, total age, 143 years old, closer to 144, to be honest with you.
Oh, boy.
And those four guys, and it's just, again, I don't know if they win tomorrow night against the Suns. But are you going to bet against them? 2.5-point dogs against the Suns tomorrow night? And even if they do, they're not getting by the Thunder. But just for one more night, what an unbelievable performance this was by the Warriors. They died about 15 times in this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
I mean, Steph, I actually got in live on a Steph prop in the third quarter when he had two. I think he just hit his third three, and I got over 5.5 at plus 109. I was like, even if they lose this game, I'm going to take a shot where he's just going to go down firing from beyond the arc. And he went and did vintage Steph Curry there in the second half.
It's just spectacular to watch. And then, by the way, of course, there is the Clippers. The Clippers are now eliminated from the playoffs. That's that for the Los Angeles Clippers, who have made the playoffs or have had winning records 15 years in a row. It's not like this is the crap Clippers of the 80s, but still can't do anything with this franchise. And you remember it was 7 years ago when they had that trade. Remember that Friday night? Will and I were texting about this last night, where Kawhi and Paul George came to the franchise, and everybody that night, let's not act like we didn't feel this way, everybody that night thought, oh my God, this team destined for a championship, who knows, maybe more, and this is, once again, their fate. And not only is that their fate, Danny, but with that loss, it's an unprotected draft pick. It will now be a lottery pick for, you guessed it, the OKC Thunder.
Unbelievable.
you imagine they end up with like Darren Peterson.
Oh my God.
Or DeBonta. Or Acuff. Oh God. Coming back. We have NFL draft plays. We have a tennis play this morning. We got a baseball play. We'll do that next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the playoffs, every game matters, and so does every bet. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits for DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app. So you're ready before the postseason begins. Get ahead of the action now. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Just want to read this one tweet because the listeners are. Martel J says, based on today's tweets, are we safe to assume that Iga Swiatek in yoga pants is a top Gills Mount Rushmore? It's not that kind of show, by the way, Martel J, and that's not my kind of relationship with Iga. She's just won me a ton of money. That's why I love her so. Jake Hahn, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Jake does have a hard out, though, Danny.
Yes.
Remind me if I go amok here. Jake Hahn, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, Jahan 4, the number 4, is where you can follow Jake. Jake, let's get back into some of these series because we've had more established since the last time we spoke to you. Now, you are on the Penguins. Penguins are around a minus 145 favorite over the Flyers. That is, of course, the Metropolitan 2-3 series, if you will. And again, for those who don't know, hockey's got this funky format. They got two conferences, two divisions per conference. The top three in each division get in, and then the two next best teams become the wild card one, wild card two in each conference. And so wild card one ends up playing division winner two, if you will. And so it just becomes this weird kind of thing. We were talking the other day, we long for the days of just 1-8 per conference. But here are some of the other lines in some of these other series, Jake, and I just want anyone that comes to mind for you that you're like, oh, that's interesting. The Wild and the Stars are about as close to a coin flip as you get. The Stars are minus 119 in that Western Conference series. Ottawa, I don't think we had this one the last time. Carolina is a minus 177 favorite over Ottawa. Ottawa about plus 152 on the comeback. Sabres, Bruins, we did talk about. Sabres are minus 175. Bruins plus 151 in that series. And the Canadiens and the Lightning, which is a great first-round series, but the Lightning are minus 235 favorites in that, plus 196 are the Canadiens. Any of those series that we haven't touched on where you're like, oh, that's interesting?
So this is the one that you just mentioned last, Tampa Bay and Montreal, that I think jumped out to me right away. I even saw it open minus 300 in some spots. I believe that came down a little bit, sort of settled into that minus 250 range that you just mentioned for Tampa Bay. It seems a bit steep for me, but with how close all these Atlantic Division teams have been, Montreal, Buffalo, Tampa, they've been duking it out for that top spot in the Atlantic all season long. If you look at the season series, now I don't tend to get too wrapped up in the season series when we predict these, but it is 2-2. Between Montreal and Tampa. The games have been really close. One of the Tampa wins came in a shootout. So I think Montreal's pretty comfortable playing against this Lightning team. You could point to a lot of areas where the Lightning have the advantage over the Canadiens. Goaltending with Vasilevsky, they have the best player in this series in Nikita Kucherov. You can argue head coaching with John Cooper behind the bench. There's just a little something about Montreal come playoff time, Gil. There's magic in the air in Montreal at the Bell Center. Now, they don't have home ice advantage in this, but they've been a really good road team all season as well, if you look at their road record. So I think out of the series that I'm willing to bet before they start, because I do like to jump in mid-series when I feel like I find some better prices, Montreal would be the one for me. At 2-1 odds, I think they can win one of the games in Tampa, flip that price a little bit. Montreal's definitely one I'm going to be looking at here the next couple days.
Okay. Didn't expect you to answer with that one, but there you go. Interesting to Jake, Canadiens versus the Lightning. And that, of course, again, in the Eastern Conference, that is the Atlantic 2-3 series, if you will. Second and third place teams in the Atlantic Division in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, let me ask you some rapid-fire questions and let you out of here. One, I alluded to it before the break. The goaltender in this group of 16 that you feel almost single-handedly could take his team further than that team ought to be if they didn't have him.
It's interesting. It's goaltending's so fickle and so random, it feels like, now in this point in the NHL. So I could pick a few different names here. I could go with the hot hand. Even out in LA, all of a sudden Anton Forsberg's taking the net away from Darcy Kemper. You know, could he just sort of ride that wave into the first round of the playoffs for a couple more weeks? Certainly he could. I just talked about Montreal. Jakub Dobish has had a real solid end to his season. I'm going to go to the Ottawa Carolina series here, guys, which is a fascinating series odds-wise for me. Obviously, no surprise Carolina is the favorite here with how strong they've been. They've been a very consistent playoff team for years now, and a team that usually loses come conference final time. They're very good at navigating the first round, the second round, but I look in the Ottawa crease, Linus Ullmark, a guy that's won a Vezina trophy before, that's had a bit of a tough season, you know, wasn't playing well early, had to leave the team. He had some mental health issues. That's been a sort of an ongoing story with him, but he finished the season really strong for the Sens. It looked like the Linus Ullmark, you know, closer to the version that won that Vezina trophy, and Carolina always has goaltending question marks. So I think I still like the Canes to win this series, but it's not going to be easy. And odds makers have loved the Ottawa Senators. If you look at future prices or anything like that with the Ottawa Senators, they get a ton of respect. And if they do get through this series, guys, against the Carolina Hurricanes, I would expect them to be, depending on what happens in those series, a slight favorite over either Philly or Pittsburgh in the next round, even as a wild card team. That's how highly the odds makers think of this Senators team and some of their defensive metrics.
So maybe that's the answer to what would have been my next question, which is give me one of the teams that's a dog here in the first round that you think could actually get through to a conference semi. So it sounds like you're saying Ottawa might be that team.
It's tough because for me, I still like the Canes in this series, but I don't love them enough where I think Ottawa could certainly win. And if they do, I'm going to love Ottawa in that second round, or I'm probably going to like Ottawa in that second round. I'd still probably go back to Montreal and looking at that Tampa series. Now, Tampa's really good. Montreal's priced at 2-1 for a reason there. But I think if they can navigate that their way through, they get either Buffalo or Boston in the next round. I think that would be almost an easier matchup than what they're getting in the first round. So it's you can find value these sorts of ways. And one series we didn't get to talk about, Gil, Dallas, Minnesota, the one that's basically a price close to a pick'em. I think a big reason for that is some of Dallas's injuries right now. Miro Heiskanen not going to play. Roope Hintz looks like he's going to miss the start of the series as well. Dallas all of a sudden looking pretty banged up going into this one. Minnesota has not had any luck in the playoffs over the last basically decade, or really just as a franchise in general. This could be the year that Minnesota bucks the trend. I'm not sure I love the price too much, but I think we could see the Wild finally win a round of playoff hockey this year.
All right, that was going to be my last question. Maybe you've already answered this, but I'll let you go on this. You can say it with just a one team answer. The team that is being thrown around by many as like a legit Stanley Cup title contender that you just don't buy at all.
That's a real good question. I can't say Colorado because I you know, that team is just so loaded, and I could certainly see them going on a run. I'm gonna say Tampa Bay. I'm gonna go to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think a lot of people have just been sort of putting them there, and I get it. Florida's out of it this year. Toronto's out of it this year. Some of the teams Tampa Bay has been battling with, but let's remember the Lightning have struggled in the playoffs the last few years, and I get it. It's against teams that usually go to the Cup final and win. I don't think it's going to be just a walk in the park for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I believe they're third on most odds boards right now. So that would be the team for me. I'd probably throw Dallas in there as well as a team that's just, to me, too banged up. I don't know if I trust them without Peter DeBoer behind the bench come postseason time. They made that coaching change in the offseason. So Dallas in the West, Tampa in the East for me.
Jake, hard out. You got to go. Thank you so much.
We did it. Thanks, guys. Always love talking to you. Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk to you throughout. Jake Hahn on the Stanley Cup playoffs, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, Jahan4, H-A-H-N, and like you, the number four.
There you go.
For Jake. I don't know if you saw this, Danny. This has nothing to do with sports, but you see, someone asked me to give my opinion on this. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees came out. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
This was it yesterday? I think it was the day before. And I'm not qualified to talk about all of them, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, they inducted. Now, Phil Collins was already in as a member of Genesis. He is now in as a solo artist. That's a long time coming. I think he deserves that as well. But the two that I could talk about, Luther Vandross, who gets in on his first ballot Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Luther Vandross, who the late, great Luther Vandross, who, if you ever went to a Luther concert, perfect pitch every single time, had a whole bunch of R&B hits, was frustrated as an artist that it took him forever to get a number one. In fact, I think his first number one was the song that he did about his father, Dance With My Father, which was really late in his career. And in fact, I think when it was a hit, he was either just before he passed away or after he passed away. He was always frustrated but when people like R. Kelly or Mary J. Blige would get number one songs, being a half note off when they were singing, it would drive him crazy. So Luther Vandross, good for him, posthumously as a Hall of Famer. And the one that I want to bring up the most, how was she not a first ballot Hall of Famer? She gets in on her second try, Sade. Do you know anything about Sade?
I do not, Gil.
Oh, my God. Helen Fola Sade Adu, Sade, who Hallmark career where she wouldn't put out an album, her and her band. Her band is ridiculous. I got to see her twice in concert over the years. You'll never forget those concerts. She wouldn't put out albums like maybe once every 9 years. She very much hated the spotlight, but there's nothing quite like her. I remember a friend of mine, Tommy, who's not really into her music, who's like, she fills arenas? I'm like, dude, you have no idea. You have no idea. And then it's just interesting that I would ask you about it. You're like, yeah, I have no idea what that is. Sade, Hall of Famer, so congratulations to her. She's 74 years old. If they can get her to perform at the induction ceremony, that would be the most amazing thing in the world. At 74, though, I don't know if she wants to. Anyway, we're coming back. Carl Sack on the NBA playoffs. I think he's got some play-in plays. Next, on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. You can scan the QR code for more. Check them out, sharpplays.com. We get tweets of beating the book. I just want to read a couple of these because I want to get to JVT. Brendan says, I assumed you were up to par on your wrestling knowledge, Gil. Tisk, tisk, he says. Mortal Capper, listening on delay today, but I have won the Wimbledon ballot in 2018 and again in 2024. Wow, I've been applying it yearly since 2016. I do the French Open ballot yearly as well, but haven't won that yet. Justin G, hands down one of the funniest segments on A Numbers Game. What do you mean? We're just dead serious about that stuff. Primetime Leon Sanders, yo, disappointed in your boy Weilers. He didn't even give Brock Lesnar's height and weight at birth. Some fan. Yeah. The fact that he knows Brock Lesnar's date of birth or year of birth is a bit frightening. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-host of Money Moves on this network. He does it with Stormy Bonatoni, who was kind enough to come on the show yesterday. They do it an hour after we get off. So it's us, then it's Prop Points. And then at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, they do Money Moves. Jonathan Von Tobel, kind enough to join me in studio here to talk some NBA. How you doing, man? Good?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, no wrestling here.
No wrestling. You're not a wrestling guy?
No, I'm not a virgin, so I don't really watch a lot of wrestling.
Oh, man. Wow. Shots fired. You said it, though. I might have been thinking
take my shot at my guy.
Yeah, any word or any opinion on this? Not any word, but we talked about earlier. Shams Charania reported this on the show. NBA Players Association, they got together.
Yep.
This is no surprise. They're like, hey, you know what, Luca, Cade Cunningham? Your extraordinary circumstances were, in fact, extraordinary circumstances. You win your challenge for the 65-game award rule, making both eligible for all 2025-26 season honors, such as MVP, neither of which are going to win that, neither of whom are going to win that, and all NBA teams, which that will matter for them. Sources tell ESPN. Any reaction to this, or is this just one other detail for the 65-game rule that's just kind of bizarre?
Well, I will say, first off, it's a detail that is bizarre. I just don't really understand it. Is, you know, hey, it is a minimum, except for these known. And so that
And we'll judge that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't get. And then, of course, then there's like the other one where it's like, if you play like at least 18 in one of the games and then it qualifies, Jokic slipped in because of that and he didn't need a hearing. I think two things, though. First off, DraftKings before the season started did have all NBA market for all NBA first team markets. So if you did bet in that, so that does matter. You know, like I've got a Victor Wembanyama, all NBA first team. So it was big that he got there. Others, you know, Luka Doncic, Cade Cunningham will in theory be up for that. So
I didn't even know
matter.
That was a bettable thing.
Yeah, they put him up for the first time this year.
Oh, okay.
So like that was fun to keep track of, and so that does matter, I think, in that sense. But the other that I keep saying and I keep telling Stormy. To meet statistical minimums, to be a league leader, points, rebounds, assists, things like that, you have to play in 58 games. Why not just make them both the same?
Dude, I understand.
That's, to me, the thing that doesn't really like jive. Make them both the same, and I think that makes a little bit more sense. But at least if you had an all-NBA first team, you're a little bit live because both Luka and Cade are very much strong candidates to make an all-NBA first team this year.
What this appeals process did do, though, was delay the deadline for submission of these votes. And so we got to see Denny Avdija throw up 41 in the Blazers advancing to the 7 seed in winning and beating the Suns, not yesterday, but the day before. He, of course, 75-1 for most improved when we last saw it at Legalized Sportsbooks. And, of course, maybe as famously, we saw Con Knepel go 0-6 from behind the arc, only score 6 points, go 2-12 from the field in Charlotte's victory. Cooper Flagg last we saw -160. With Con Knepel at +125. Now, these still are bettable at prediction markets. They were taken off the board, but the voters could still contemplate. Do you think that there could be voters that were influenced by both of those performances?
It's probably human nature, I guess.
I think so.
You know, I don't know if it would be a lot of them. I think there's probably some that are honorable and like, this was my selection, and it's, you know, and in theory, would there really be that tight of a margin with so many voters that that one game would make the difference in voting for one player or the other in either respective award? I would think there's not going to be a lot if there is some that would do it. But some have given voice to it, and now he's not a voter, but it actually annoyed the hell out of me. Tim McMahon was on Brian Windhorst's podcast earlier this week, and one of his things was, I'm paraphrasing very much, but it was, well, you know, if you thought that the argument for Khan was that he contributes to winning, that was the argument against it. And it's like, okay, so Cooper Flagg plays win tomorrow? I mean,
how many points did Cooper Flagg have?
It's so annoying when you hear those sort of things, but there will be people who think like that. And so will it be enough to swing one way or the other, any of these voters and where we're at? I don't think so. I think that this is going to be a very close race. The straw poll obviously had an 80-20 in favor of Khan. I still think he wins, and I think it's probably going to be a little bit closer, like a 60-40 type split between the two.
All right,
let's not forget, by the way, VJ Edgecombe played too.
Yes, he did.
So maybe there's a couple of people who would have. There was one straw poll voter that had him above one of the two because he got a second place vote in that straw poll.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. There was some other weird vote in one of the others too.
Jokic was left off of a ballot.
That's right. Jokic was left off of a
99 out of 100.
Take it away. Take it away immediately. Last thing before we get to your thoughts on the play-ins tomorrow and then some of these series prices, would you like to say just any words of praise for the Golden State Warriors, what they did last night?
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, I mean, the bait here is that the Clippers blew this thing, which I can speak on as well. But, you know, I thought Steve Kerr said it well. You know, and he put it as, you know, for one night we're champions again. It's a little hyperbolic, but the point still stands that That was a flashback to some old school Golden State Warriors.
That's
crazy to
it.
Say, right? In 2026. Like,
that's how I put it. I was like, I don't know if they're going to win tomorrow. They're certainly not going to be the Thunder, but for one more night.
Dude, it was it was Curry with how good he was offensively. It was Draymond, an incredible defensive performance from Draymond Green, a great defensive game plan from the Golden State Warriors. It felt like just for a couple of minutes, you were watching the old school Warriors, and it was a classic Clippers performance as well, in many senses of the word, with nonchalant, blasé Kawhi Leonard scoring 2 points in a fourth quarter, and afterwards not really looking like he cares that much, and the same thing with Ty Lue. I don't know how many times I've heard Ty Lue say, you know, I'm really disappointed and pissed off about that. Well, then show up. Don't get blown out in Game 7 against the Nuggets. Don't show up, or excuse me, don't show a non-show against the Portland Trailblazers on a Friday with the top seed on the line in the play-in or yesterday. So kind of done with the regime here at this point. We'll see if they make any changes.
Wow, that's a big thing for you, right?
Oh,
the arc of the Clippers.
I mean, look, like this year, because I had somebody tweet me this morning, and I said this 1,000 times to Stormy, on paper, should they be able to pull it off yesterday? Yes. Do I trust them in any way, shape, or form to do it? No. And that came to fruition. Yeah. They didn't pull it off.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have to ask the question, when you're constantly no-showing in these big moments and in these big games, two of which have happened over the last 5 days, you have to ask, okay, what are we changing? What are we doing? Because it's just insanity if you're just going to run this back again. And of course, you zoom out the large sample size when you start 6-21 or whatever it was at the beginning of the year, how awful they were, but then how great they were at the end of the year. The inconsistency drives you mad. And I actually think a better head coaching candidate is on the staff and Jeff Van Gundy, who's done a great job with their defense over the last two seasons. But it seems like maybe Ballmer is infatuated with Ty Lue for some reason and that he might stick around. But you have to ask the question what we're doing here at some point.
7 years since that night where both Kawhi and Paul George got acquired by the Clippers. And we all thought, well, this has got to lead to something. But it didn't.
And?
At least till now.
The Clippers give the lottery pick to the Thunder because
the
of that
Thunder
last night.
Have the lottery pick.
Yep.
Could you imagine they end up with Peterson or DeBonce or Acuff or somebody?
It would be. I kind of want them to get the first overall pick just because of the theater. Because it's also embarrassment. What are you going to do?
Right. You got. I'm sorry, kid. You got no time here.
What's the whole thing? Oh, my steak is too buttery and my lobster's too. Like it's just like, come on. What are we doing?
What about the two games tomorrow for the 8 seeds, respectively? The Warriors are 3-point dogs at Phoenix in the West, and before that game, it's the Hornets. It's the Magic. Jamal Mosley is going to be fired quickly if they lose this. He's fired whenever the Magic get eliminated. Yep. Hornets are 3.5-point favorites in that ballgame.
We'll go with this one first. Data, numbers, matchups aside, I hate this Magic team. This team stinks. They don't like each other. The offense is abysmal. Paolo Banchero
looks terrible.
Yeah, he's reached Ben Simmons levels of adverse to shooting. Like he's getting wide open looks from beyond the arc and dribbling into post-ups or dribbling into contested two-point jumpers. He looks awful. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know what's going on. And then for the reports now out there that he's the one that's demanding, it's me or him in terms of Jamal Mosley, if I'm in the front office, I say, how about both of you are gone?
Right.
And we just start over with everybody else. So this team, like, it just, there's sometimes, you know, like, we could break these down in terms of projections and whatnot. Sometimes a team just doesn't have it, and sometimes the team is ready to get out. And I think that that's the Magic. And statistically, since the start of the calendar year, there is one team that has been better in terms of net rating and non-garbage time than the Charlotte Hornets, and that's the San Antonio Spurs. This team is one of the best starting lineups in the postseason right now. I think they're a great offensive rebounding team. Diabate has been fantastic. We'll see how healthy he is. But I just think in general, this team's got enough to get this thing done. So I think it's Hornets here. And then the other one, I mean, maybe it's a little hanging fruit, but in a one-off, it's almost akin to Spoelstra in that game against Miami, where it's just, hey, man, in a one-off, if I've got Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry, catching 3 points against the Suns team that with this iteration that has not been there before, I think I'll take my chances with the better team in terms of experience and the ability to game plan and with a singular defensive entity like Draymond Green that can get them there.
That was amazing. Draymond with the steal on the inbounds pass when they were up six. Or no, when they're up four. Yeah, when they're up three, pardon me. Yeah. That led to a Pajemski goaltend and one. And then pickpocketing Kawhi to put the Warriors up seven. And it was KD barred the door after that. It was just unbelievable. Carl Sack was on earlier, though. He's taking the Suns. He's laying the points. He's staying in front of the Warriors again. We'll see. We shall see.
Can't do it.
Tomorrow night, doubleheader for the final playoff spots for the rights to play the Pistons, which could be a good thing, according to some in the Eastern Conference in a best of seven, and obviously to play the Thunder in the Western Conference. Not a good thing by consensus opinion there. We'll get JVT's thoughts on some of these established series, what series prices he's taking, what game ones he might be playing on Saturday. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves. And he makes his regular appearances on the Hardwood Handicappers basketball podcast, which Zach Cohen hosts as well.
Yes.
You can follow John on Twitter at MeJVT. Just want to read a couple of these tweets. IAOYS69, I cannot stop crying from laughter after Wyatt breaks down wrestling. Unsanctioned wrestling match reminds me of insanctioned knuckles fights and snatch. Las Vegas 514, yo, I'd rather see you in the ring instead of McAfee or Jelly Roll. Yeah, I don't want to see McAfee. Come on. Just Win Bets Baby, the duo at Just Win Bets Baby, they said, hey, Gil, is it me or does Wyatt Tomchek look like Damian Sandow? Yeah, a little bit of resemblance there, I think. Wyatt likes it as well. Wyatt Tomchek, can we give a round of applause for Wyatt? Even though JVT just took a shot at him.
Hey.
I love that shot. That was great.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a great segment from Wyatt. I want to ask you something.
Take your word for it.
I want to ask you something random about baseball. This has nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
But in the group chat, they're laughing at me because I'm so bothered by this. And this is not about you, but I'm just taking a survey. How do you pronounce the name of San Francisco Giants slap hitter and multiple batting champion Luis Arraez?
Arraez.
Okay. Arraez.
Yeah.
You said Arraez.
Yeah.
Three syllables, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is this epidemic with Americans and sports broadcasters where they cannot pronounce this man's name correctly and they all go with this anglicized Arise?
According to Baseball Reference, apparently that's the way you're supposed to say it.
No, it's an anglicized bastardization of it.
Okay.
What that is you say it because millions of Americans have collectively agreed we don't want to take even the slightest bit of effort to pronounce this guy's name correctly.
Okay.
How is it that we, as sports broadcasters, we can say, we figured out a way to say DJ Uiagalelei, right? Uiagalelei.
Got that.
Right, correctly. Or let's just take something.
Jared Chiave-Sangopulitele for Cal.
Exactly. Yeah. Who, by the way, is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something more similar. Here you go.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Reds slugger Eugenio Suarez. People say that, right?
Yeah.
They say Eugenio Suarez. They don't say Gene Swears.
Yeah. So I'll give you mine that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
How do you say stud pitcher for the Miami Marlins, Sandy?
Oh, this is, you know what? I got this one wrong because I thought I was being smart with the true Spanish pronunciation should be Alcantara,
yeah.
But he purposely puts the accent in a different place, so you know that that's not the correct pronunciation. It's Alcantara based on how he puts the accent.
So it drives me nuts, and our colleague here, Scott Seidenberg, did this to me one time, and I think it's more East Coasters than anything else. They call him Alcantara.
Oh, no, that's not correct.
And so, yeah. So one day we're doing a show, and I called him by his proper name, and Scott looks at me and goes, John, he's a Cy Young winner. We should probably call him by his proper name. And then he says Contra, and I'm like, it's not how you say it.
I don't know.
It drives me insane.
I don't know why Americans butchering names like that drives me crazy. Just take one extra beat to pronounce. Anyway, that's my own thing.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm down.
Right. Okay. Contra. Back to the NBA for a second. Just my thing. It's my little Larry David moment. Okay, of all these series that have been established, so we have three at each conference, everything but the 1-8s. Let me just go one by one, and you can comment as you please if you have a bet or not. Let's start with the Raptors and the Cavs, the 4-5 in the East. The Cavs are -550 favorites, thereabouts, +415 on the comeback for the Raptors. Any series play on this or a game one play?
Yeah, under 5.5 games. I thought you can get that at -110 in a lot of different places. I thought that was more than fair for this series between these two. I think this is going to be a short series. It's one of those, I said this to Zach on the Harvard Handicappers podcast today, actually. You ever seen The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix when he's sitting on the couch and he's like, and I'm tired of saying that it's not. Like, this is it too. I'm tired of pretending like the Cavs aren't a really good team. And especially in a series like this, if you look at some of the matchup issues that it just presents for the Toronto Raptors, what they want to do defensively, arguably their best defensive option singularly is Scottie Barnes, but you have to waste him on a guy like Evan Mobley. So that means one of Emmanuel Quickley or Brandon Ingram or RJ Barrett has to take on the assignment of Donovan Mitchell and or James Harden. You pick your poison there. And the Cavs are just so much deeper, Gil. They have so much lineup versatility. They've got a litany of ball handlers they can trust. They've got some guys that are along the wing that can really shoot. You can go big. You can go small. I think their overall depth and their offensive upside is going to be really, really good. And the Toronto Raptors, they got a true wing defender, but there's not really any true wings that they have to worry about in a series like this. I think that's ultimately going to be a problem. And in a short series, I like this Cleveland Cavaliers team. So under 5.5 games, they thought -110, more than fair.
Under 5.5 on the Cavs-Raptors series. All right, Hawks-Knicks, the 6-3 in the Eastern Conference. Knicks are -273 series favorites. Hawks about 225 coming back.
Kelly Bidlin, I believe, is on the same tack as this one. I lead the 1.5 games with the Knicks. I think one of my favorite things, going back and watching the most recent game that these two teams played, that shows some of the versatility that the Knicks really have and what they want to do, especially on defense. They had this interesting thing where they actually put Karl Anthony Towns on Dyson Daniels and they put OG Anunoby on Onyeka Okongwu, essentially telling the Raptors, first off, we don't think Dyson Daniels is going to be anybody off the dribble with the ball in his right hand, so you do whatever you want. And the other is, if you want to use Onyeka Okongwu as a screener, we're just going to switch it every time because it's OG Anunoby who's defending him, and you're going to have to deal with whatever comes out of those matchups. And I think that that's just a one singular piece of a matchup that really works in the Knicks' favor. You know, you go to the ability to create shots, and who do you trust on offense for Atlanta? There's not that many guys. And then you look at what the Knicks can do. You've got Jalen Brunson. You've got Karl Anthony Towns. Towns in two games against the Hawks destroyed them. I mean, they had no answer for him. Two games, two double-doubles is absolutely fantastic, especially in the last game. And they've got more versatile size. They can bring Mitchell Robinson in. They can play two bigs. There's no real backup big that Atlanta has. So I think laying 1.5 games. And here locally, there was a short price, too, at like -104, -105. So I think it's more than fair, too, to still lay -115, -1.5 games of the Knicks here.
Knicks -1.5. Either game one in either of those two Eastern Conference series?
I tend to wait until the series starts. I like to say that, hey, look, I'll take the larger sample size. I'll lay 1.5 games and say that over the course of the series, this will happen for me.
I like
you know, and that's what I tend to do in NBA postseason.
Let's go to the West.
Yeah.
Let's start with the 4-5. These, by the way, all these that we're talking about all have game ones on Saturday. Rockets, Lakers. Well, let's do them chronologically. Let's go Timberwolves, Nuggets first, the 3-6, where the Nuggets are -330 as a series favorite, and the T-Wolves with Anthony Edwards about +265 on the comeback.
I went over 5.5 games here. I think like these two teams are really familiar with each other. We've obviously seen multiple playoff series between the two. I think Denver wins this. Denver is my Western Conference champion. I think that they're going to be able to win this thing. I really trust in what Adelman has in Jokic. But in this series, because you know each other so well, I think there's a chance you can get this to 6-7 games potentially. But and I do still have questions about Denver. If Peyton Watson's not going to be fully healthy at the start of the series, who in the world are you using to guard Anthony Edwards? That's going to be a problem that you have to deal with throughout the series. But the flip side of this for Minnesota is, if you look at the non-Gobert minutes, which are going to be few and far between, but still over the course of a series, you're going to have to play some minutes without him. They have been abysmal in defense all year long without him on the floor. And that's going to be something that I think ultimately makes a very big difference in a series like this. Ant's great. He's going to be able to, I think, shoulder a big load here for the Minnesota Timberwolves and kind of grit through this thing. But I think ultimately Nuggets and Six was my selection. But I would be stunned if either of these teams were to win this series in five or fewer games.
Okay. And then the Rockets and the Lakers, the 5-4 out West. No Luka for now.
Yeah.
No Austin Reeves for now. We expect Austin Reeves back first. Rockets are $6 favorites. Lakers +425.
I'm tempted to go in the direction that Zach Cohen. I don't have anything in the series, but I will say Lakers +2.5 games at -110.
Zach did have
that. Yeah,
yeah. Yep.
I think that might be the direction, because here's the way these series are scheduled and so spread out for these games.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's 2 weeks until game three, essentially. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
The first round does not have to be like this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, but that helps a team like the Lakers, who are waiting for a guy to come back from injury. It helps a team like the Nuggets as well, who are waiting for a guy to come back from injury. And I don't like this Rockets team. I'll just put it out there. Their half-court offense stinks. Their run at the end of the season, you can go through it. You pick me a game that you think is impressive or an opponent that's impressive that they beat down the stretch. I think the Rockets are fool's gold, and maybe they get this done, but this blind faith in them, I don't buy, especially with a banged-up Lakers team that might be getting some guys back. So I thought +2.5 games Lakers was a fair price at -110 to lay.
The 2-7s, in addition to the 1-8s, but the 2-7s will start on Sunday. Spurs are -2,000.
Yeah.
Blazers are over 10-1 to win that series. Celtics are also prohibitive favorites. Sixers are plus 675 on the comeback there. Anything?
Yeah, so Zach and I had a good talk about this Celtics and Sixers series, and it's one of those where I will say outright that I don't think they should be minus 900 to win the series. I think that it's odd. A year ago, nobody would trust this team, and that now here we are, because they overperformed expectations, they are being priced as like the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I just don't buy where the market's pricing them. You expect that Embiid might be coming back at some point in this series as well. I think it should be more like minus 650, but do I want to trust the Sixers? Like, I'll take 6-1 in terms of value and then sit back and watch them still lose in like 6 and 7 games. But I think the price is just a little too high. I think the Celtics are being overvalued by the betting market. So I'll try to take my shot against Boston once we get to the later rounds. But I think that Cleveland can beat them. I think the Knicks can beat them as well. And I think they're being priced as a juggernaut that they're not.
All right. If I come to you from the future and I say, hey, one of these underdogs got to the second round, that team is...
Oh, Minnesota, probably.
Minnesota.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then who, your instinct right now, who's in the finals?
It is Denver and Cleveland, with Denver beating the Cavaliers.
Denver and Cleveland. Is this just one of those things where you've had this all year and you're sticking with it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Got to stick to my guns, man.
I was wondering. There's no reason to change it.
That's right, yeah.
I
haven't seen
anything. I didn't know if that was a brand new thought for me. No, where you're like, hey, you know what? The Cavaliers seemed really good. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. Two-segment appearance on a numbers game. Money moves an hour from now. Prop points in between. And I'm going to go do the Beating the Book NFL Draft pod as well. We'll be live on Twitter in about an hour. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.